when the story initially broke back in March, I remember thinking to myself, this can't possibly be true. We had whistleblower agents from the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Department, claiming that ATF sometimes encouraged the sale of assault weapons to criminals in Mexico. Their idea was they would then trace those weapons, and that would allow them to sort of bring down a major drug cartel. Not surprisingly, it didn't quite go.
Why didn't they do it with beepers,
planned,
or T-shirts, or anything but assault weapons?
Yeah. Well, the result now is that there's more evidence that it is, in fact, true, that the program was called Fast and Furious, and there will be a congressional hearing today to look into it.
Dumb and Dumber, I think, would be the new name.
Yeah, a new congressional. Actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
a new congressional report was released yesterday that said, as we said, 70% of the guns recovered in Mexico connected to crimes in the past 2 years have come from the U.S. And just a reminder on how serious this problem is, since 2006, in the past 5 years, drug cartels have been responsible for more than 34,000 deaths in Mexico.
Oh, that's crazy.
Joining us now, James Grimaldi, Washington Post investigative reporter who wrote an extensive piece about this called The Hidden Life of Guns. Thanks for joining us, James.
You're welcome.
You know, the fact that, A, this ATF program called Fast and Furious allegedly was encouraging the sale of these weapons over the border, the fact that we now know that the vast majority of guns used in Mexican crimes come from the United States, does that represent a kind of policy, or is it just simply the U.S. government looking the other way?
Well, let's take apart the steps. We'll take the last step first. Most of the guns that are recovered in Mexico are coming from or through the United States. That's been true for years. The most recent report said it was about 70%. The first step is slightly not quite right. When you say the ATF encouraged this, I think that's an overstatement. It's an overstatement in the sense that what was happening was drug cartels had engaged individuals who were legally able to purchase guns at gun stores, to buy them on behalf of the cartels, and then to run them across the border. So the individual sales themselves were actually technically legal because the person going in to buy them were considered not felons and able to do that. They began to follow some people that they had suspicions about, and then they began to get pings back to show that these guns were in fact being recovered in Mexico. So they knew that once they had one of these individuals who had a gun that he'd purchased at a store that ended up in Mexico, that person was probably running a trafficking operation or part of a trafficking operation. The question and the debate that was going on within the ATF office in Phoenix was, when do you bring these guys down? Do you keep going to go to the big kingpins of this trafficking cartel, or do we grab these guys now? And you have to say that there were clearly mistakes made. There were clearly mistakes about when to close and end that investigation. But a lot of that was a matter of judgment of the people in charge. And also, I would say, probably a lack of experience in doing these high-level cases. Think about drugs. You follow a drug cartel running drugs across the border into, say, the United States. When do you bust that ring, and when do you take it down? Do you get the little guys,
well,
or do you try to get the big guys?
Well, it appears that, James, that they waited too long. I mean, we have evidence that the two of those guns ended up somehow involved in the murder of a U.S. Border Patrol agent named Brian Terry.
That's correct. I think there's no question. I don't think anyone would disagree that it went too long, that they didn't break it up soon enough. I think that's what the hearing is about today. Let me clarify a point about the two guns. They were found near the scene of that shooting. They have not found the gun, I don't believe, or they haven't said anything about having found a gun that actually shot Brian Terry.
Right.
But there were two guns at the scene, and they were linked to this Fast and Furious investigation.
So that investigation is the subject of The Hidden Life of Guns. It's a Washington Post exclusive story, which was broken by the Post back in January.
The whole life of guns.
No, understood. I just want to sort of set the context for people listening. And James Grimaldi is the Washington Post investigative reporter. I mean, you said, and I appreciate you trying to be careful here, that you know, it's an overstatement to say that the ATF encouraged the sale of guns across the border as a way of tracing them, but you know, why would Congressman Daryl Issa say that this not only had mistakes in it, this ATF program, but it was a complete mistake to begin with?
Well, I think that there's a question about law enforcement and guns. Look, you have to look at the whole hearing. We're sort of examining it in the petri dish. Let's look at the universe. We have two members of Congress with A-plus ratings with the NRA who voted against an assault weapons ban. They're holding a hearing to investigate overly aggressive tactics to catch smuggling of assault weapons to Mexico. Now, you need to sort of look at that context. There's a question about whether reinstating the assault weapons ban might have prevented this whole program to begin with. The ATF is under extreme pressure. The NRA-led gun lobby has consistently outmaneuvered and hemmed in the ATF, using its political muscle to erect barriers to tougher gun laws. And this is a logical conclusion of that situation.
Well, okay, we're speaking with James Grimaldi, who's an investigative reporter with The Washington Post. We're talking about this secret government program called Fast and Furious with the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. But James, I mean, I would assume that the ATF would see the Fast and Furious program, whether it was misguided or not, as part of an effort to combat Mexican drug cartels and combat drug violence. However, I should say that Assistant Attorney General Ronald Welch, his response is that this allegation that the ATF knowingly allowed the sale of assault weapons to people who then transported them to Mexico is false. They say that's not true. Could there be a misreading of what happened here to say that the ATF didn't know what was going on?
Look, the Department of Justice Inspector General, the watchdog, told the ATF they were only going after straw purchasers, and they got a harshly critical audit saying they needed to go after the big organizers, the kingpins of this trafficking situation. That's what they tried to do, and they went too far.
James Grimaldi, Washington Post investigative reporter, wrote an extensive piece called The Hidden Life of Guns. We're talking about this program from the ATF called Fast and Furious. Whistleblower agents from the ATF allege that the ATF knowingly allowed assault weapons to pass into the hands of Mexican drug cartels, and that two of those guns may have been involved in the murder of a Border Patrol agent. James Grimaldi, thank you so much.
You're welcome.